Welcome to another deep dive. Today we're going to be looking at Lamentations 3.34-51 with Dr. Leslie Allen.
Okay.
So Lamentations, right? Poetry, raw grief, Jerusalem destroyed. But Dr. Allen, he picks out this part where there's this mentor figure, right?
Yeah.
Guiding this grieving community. And he makes some really interesting connections, you know, things like Alcoholics Anonymous, even reflections on the Holocaust.
Wow.
Really brings it home, doesn't it? You know, makes this ancient text feel relevant to today.
It really does, yeah. And one of the things that I think is so interesting is how Dr. Allen unpacks, like, right off the bat, verse 36.
Right.
Does the Lord not see?
Okay, yeah. Let's talk about that. Does the Lord not see?
It seems like a simple question, right?
Right.
But he opens up all these different interpretive possibilities.
So what are some of those interpretive possibilities?
So some people see it as God being blind to the suffering. Others think that it suggests that God is actually disapproving of the injustice that's happening. But here's what's really important.
Okay.
Even with that ambiguity, the text ultimately affirms that God is a God of justice.
Okay.
He will act.
Okay.
Even if it feels like he's distant right now.
Yeah, that tension, huh?
Yeah. So I think, you know, you and I have talked about this before. Like, when you're going through something, and you're like, oh, where are you?
Right, right.
It can feel like God is not there.
Where are you? Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Exactly. Yeah. So this passage is a good reminder that God is ultimately a God of justice.
Okay, so this mentor figure, right, he's guiding the community through this grief. How does he approach that, you know, this kind of theological question, right?
Yeah, so he connects their suffering under the Babylonian rule to Isaiah chapter 10.
Okay.
So in Isaiah 10, we see that God uses Assyria to judge Judah.
Right.
But then he also holds Assyria accountable when it goes too far.
Oh, interesting.
Dr. Allen calls this God's two-sided policy.
I like that.
So God uses nations, you know,
yeah,
for his purposes, but he doesn't give them a blank check.
Right, right, right. He's got a plan.
They, so
it's not just like, okay, just destroy everything.
No. He's using them.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a good reminder, too. Even in judgment, God has restoration in mind.
Mm.
So it's not the final word.
Well, and you think about empires rising and falling, right?
Exactly, yeah.
They all think they've got the final word, but there's something bigger going on.
Exactly.
That they don't even see.
Exactly. God is working out his purposes, even in the midst of these huge world events.
Yeah, yeah. That's really interesting. You know, it's interesting, too, how Dr. Allen talks about complaining.
Oh, yeah.
Complaining to God. Like, there's a right way and a wrong way.
Absolutely, yeah. He talks about how in verse 39,
right,
the Hebrew word for complain that's used there,
okay,
connects back to Numbers 11,
right,
where the Israelites, they're whining about the manna.
Oh, yeah.
They're rejecting God's provision.
Yeah, the manna, the miracle bread from heaven, and they're complaining about that.
Exactly. So, it, you know, it makes you kind of wonder, like,
right,
is there ever a right time to complain to God?
Right. I mean, because we've all been there. I've been there. You've probably been there. We're like, oh, God, this is,
yeah,
you know, we're frustrated and we complain. But
yeah,
where's that line between complaining and just flat out rebellion?
Well, and that's where I think Dr. Allen makes a really interesting point. He points us toward repentance.
Okay.
He calls it the back door to grace.
Back door to grace. That's pretty good.
So in verses 40 and 41, there's this call for self-reflection.
Okay.
But not just like empty gestures.
Right.
Like, it's about really looking at yourself and saying, okay, you know what? I have a part in this.
It's about ownership, isn't it? Yeah.
It is. Yeah. Taking ownership.
That's good.
And he connects that to...
he connects it to the 12 steps, right?
He does.
Alcoholics Anonymous.
Yeah. Specifically, steps 4 and 5.
Yeah, where you're taking a moral inventory, right?
Yeah. And admitting your wrongs.
Right, yeah.
And so I think that's really interesting because it shows that, you know, this ancient text, it's echoing something that we still see today.
Yeah.
This importance of honesty,
yeah,
taking responsibility,
yeah,
as the starting point for healing. It's not just about feeling bad.
Right. It's about action.
It's about action. It's about change.
That's good. Okay. So we've got God is a God of justice,
yes,
even when it's hard to see.
Yeah.
We've got this complaining can be okay,
yeah,
if it's paired with this genuine repentance, this taking ownership.
Yeah.
So this mentor, he's guiding the community through this grief, right?
Yeah.
What else does he sort of lead them through? What else does he help them process?
Well, in verses 42 to 47, we get what Dr. Allen calls this model prayer for the grieving.
Okay.
So it has all the classic elements of a lament, confession, describing the suffering, acknowledging God's anger.
Right. Classic lament. Yeah.
But here's what's really interesting. It doesn't directly ask for help.
What?
And there's no statement of trust in God.
That's strange.
It is.
Why would they leave that out?
Well, you know, it's open to interpretation, but it really makes you wonder, Like, what's going on with their faith at this point?
Yeah, they're pouring out their hearts, but then just silence.
Yeah, it's like they stop short.
Yeah, yeah. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Makes you think.
It does. It does.
So much there.
Yeah.
So much there. Okay. Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? Like, they just don't ask for help.
It is. You know, it makes you think about where their faith is at, right?
Right. Right. It's like they're so deep in it that they can't even form the words.
Right.
Yeah. And it makes me think about that mentor, too.
Right.
That wounded healer. We were talking about him at the end of the last section, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Dr. Allen really highlights how his grief over the young women foreshadows that more explicit mention of rape in chapter 5.
Yeah. It's heavy stuff.
It is. I mean, it really brings home the brutality of what these people went through.
Yeah. This isn't just about buildings and walls.
Right.
This is about lives.
It is. It's about people. And I think that makes that mentor's role even more powerful.
Yeah.
You know, he's not just this detached observer.
Right.
He's right there with them.
Yeah. He's hurting too.
Yeah. And that shared pain, I think, it gives his words so much more weight.
Yeah.
You know?
It's authentic.
It is. It's authentic. And it makes me think, you know, about leadership in general.
Oh, interesting.
Like, often the most effective leaders are the ones who have been through the fire themselves.
Yeah. You can't comfort someone unless you understand, right?
Exactly. You need that empathy. You need that connection.
That's why support groups work, right?
Yeah.
Everyone gets it. They've been there.
Exactly. It's that shared experience. And it's interesting, you know, Dr. Allen connects this to the 12 steps.
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
He talks about steps 4 and 5.
That searching and fearless moral inventory, right?
Yes. Admitting your wrongs. And I think you can see echoes of that here.
You can, yeah.
You know, both the text and AA, they emphasize the importance of confronting those hard truths about yourself.
Right. But not in a like a self-flagellating way. It's about like owning it so that you can move toward.
Yes. Forgiveness.
Mm.
Restoration.
Yeah. That's good.
So it's not just about individual transformation.
Right.
It's about communal transformation.
Oh, interesting. Because this mentor, right, he's guiding a community through this.
He is. And Dr. Allen talks about communal lament.
Communal lament. Okay.
This idea that, you know, grief is rarely a solo journey.
Right.
There's something powerful about people coming together to express their pain.
Strength in numbers.
Yeah, absolutely. Sharing the burden makes it a bit easier to bear.
Yeah, and realizing you're not alone.
Right. Exactly. And you see that woven throughout Lamentations.
Okay.
Even in the darkest moments, you know,
yeah,
there's this emphasis on community togetherness.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. So wounded healer, guiding the community, self-reflection, a communal sharing.
Right.
But then that prayer, right?
Yeah.
Verses 42 through 47.
Yeah.
Things get even more, I don't know, complex there.
They do. It is a strange prayer.
It is.
You know, it's got the classic elements of a lament. Confession, recounting suffering, acknowledging God's anger.
It does. Classic.
Yeah. But Dr. Allen points out it lacks something crucial.
What's that?
There's no direct request for help.
We talked about this. They don't ask for help.
Yeah. And there's no clear statement of trust in God.
Why? What do you think? Why do you think they leave that out?
You know, it's hard to say for sure, but to me, it suggests just the depth of their despair. Like, they're so overwhelmed by grief that they can't even form the words to ask.
Or maybe they're struggling with some doubt.
Yeah. Maybe they're questioning God's deliverance.
Yeah. That makes sense. It's interesting.
It is. So even the act of praying becomes a struggle.
Yeah. It's not this easy thing.
No.
It's messy. It's real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people can relate to that. Have you ever felt that way?
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Like, even prayer felt impossible.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. There have been times when I just, you know, all I could muster were just groans and tears, you know, and I think this text, it kind of gives us permission to do that.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay to just sit in that discomfort, to be honest with God about where you're at.
Yeah. Even when it's raw, even when it's confusing.
Exactly. Yeah. So we don't always have to have it all together,
right,
even in our prayers. Sometimes the most honest prayer is just that acknowledgement of pain, the doubt, the struggle.
Absolutely. And maybe, you know, maybe that's the first step toward healing. This has been a good deep dive.
It has. Yeah. We've talked about wounded healers, communal lament, the complexities of prayer.
Right.
And there's still more.
Yeah, there is.
There's so much to unpack here.
It is. It's pretty powerful stuff.
It is. And I keep coming back to that line from verse 36. Does the Lord not see?
It's a haunting question.
It is. Yeah. How can a loving God allow so much pain? I mean, you know, it's an age-old question.
Right. And I think Dr. Allen does a good job of not giving us a, you know, a simple answer.
Right, because there isn't one, really.
Right, because there isn't one. But I think what he does do is he emphasizes that the text ultimately affirms God as a champion of justice.
So even when it seems like he's silent, he's distant, you know, he is working.
He is. And I think that's the key. You know, we have to remember that God's ways are not our ways.
Right. His perspective is bigger.
It is. It's bigger. And so I think that could be a real source of comfort, you know, especially when we're going through those times when our faith is really being tested.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're in the valley and you're like, oh, where are you?
Where are you? What are you
doing? Going on? Yeah. So we may not understand the why, but we can trust that he sees, that he cares.
He does.
That's helpful. That's, you know, obviously doesn't take away the pain, but it's...
Right. It doesn't erase the pain.
It's a glimmer, right?
It is.
It's something, you know, and I think that's what's so powerful about Lamentations, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't sugarcoat things.
It doesn't.
It doesn't try to give you easy answers.
Right. It gives us permission to grieve.
Right.
To question.
To lament.
To lament. To pour out our hearts to God.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes that's messy, you know?
It is messy. It's raw.
It's raw, but it's real.
It is real.
And I think that's so important, that permission, right?
And I think that's where that whole idea of repentance comes in.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, Dr. Allen connects this to the 12 steps.
He does.
You know, that whole idea of taking a moral inventory, owning your part.
Yeah, that ownership, that accountability.
Yeah. And that can be hard, right?
It can be. It can be really hard.
But I think that's where healing begins.
Yeah, moving from denial to honesty.
Yes, exactly. And that's not just about addiction, right?
No, I mean, we all make mistakes.
We all do.
We all hurt people. We all
fall short.
Yeah, we fall short. And so repentance is not just about feeling bad, right?
Right.
It's about changing.
It's about changing, yeah.
Doing better.
Doing better, being better.
Being better, yeah. It's empowering in a way, isn't it?
It is. It is empowering. It's that freedom, you know? And I think, again, it brings us back to that whole idea of community.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that communal lament.
We're not meant to suffer alone.
We're not. You know, and when we share our pain with others, we create space for empathy, compassion, support.
Yeah. It's that we're in this together feeling.
It is. And, you know, I think in a world that's often so individualistic.
Right.
That's a really powerful message.
It is. It is. So as we wrap up this deep dive into Lamentations, you know, what are some of the key things, the key takeaways that you hope our listeners kind of walk away with?
Well, for me, I think the biggest takeaway is just that this ancient text speaks to these timeless human experiences.
It does.
It reminds us that it's okay to wrestle with doubt, with pain, to question, to lament.
Honesty, accountability, community.
Yes. Exactly. And ultimately, I think it offers this message of hope.
It does.
That even in the darkest of times, God sees, he cares, and he's working towards restoration.
It has been an incredible conversation. Thank you for walking us through Lamentations. It's been a real journey.
It has.
And we hope it's been helpful for you, the listener, that it's given you some food for thought, some comfort, and maybe even a little bit of hope to hold on to.